Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Like their pop music counterparts, opera singers have durability issues too. Some have had long careers, many others have flamed out early. And in this post-MTV era, there's another similarity. Lots of opera directors want their singers not just to sound right, but to look right. Enter Danielle Denise, one of the new breed of young glamorous sopranos. She plays this role of Susanna in Mozart's Marriage of Figaro at the Metropolitan Opera. Danielle Denise joins us today on Soundcheck. Welcome.
Thank you, John. How are you?
So what do you make of all the first half of our show where we've been talking about, you know, youth and glamour and aging and, you know, you've got to be thinking along these lines already as you map out the rest of your career.
It was quite interesting to listen to the beginning of this show, actually, because as an artist, I suppose I have a different sensitivity to listening to people talk about other artists and their issues as they progress and try to do their best over a very long span of time. It's difficult.
Well, you know, in the opera world, the idea that as the voice ages, it may roughen, but it gains gravitas, which, you know, we've been talking about in the pop world. I'm not sure how well that plays in the opera world.
Well, there's a different trajectory because, especially for someone like me, I've started out so young. So I'm still on the sort of upward bound.
You're still in your 20s.
I'm still in my 20s. Even when I listened to this recording, I think that was a year ago, and my voice has grown so much since then. So, and I've got another decade to go before I even hit my quote-unquote prime, which they say the 40s is the prime for an opera singer. So... then it's a matter of trying to maintain that freshness, and that can be done through good technique.
Mm-hmm.
And conservation, obviously. Self-preservation is something that opera singers have to be aware of in a way that's very different from pop singers, I think. But probably some pop singers will say that they too, you know, the ones who care about taking care of their voice will say that they do take certain measures to protect themselves. I think it also depends, especially in the pop world, on sort of what an artist is known for. Because somebody who's known for a very dusky sound in their voice, they will have a better time of aging because people expect that sound, a husky quality from their voice.
Whereas, the Bob Dylan effect.
Exactly. Whereas somebody who's known for sort of a big, powerful, belting, crystalline voice might have a tougher time of it. It doesn't mean that their artistry or maturity is any different. And we have to, you know, as fans, as people who love an artist's work, we have to go with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, in the opera world, the voice is a big part of it, always has been. But in... if for a generation, I guess now two generations, that have grown up with music videos where they expect the music to look good as well, you know, that's also something. I mean, you're playing Susanna in The Marriage of Figaro. Everybody wants a piece of Susanna.
Oh, I love that role. So excited to play it at the Met.
So you want to look the part, right? I mean,
sure.
That's important. Is that important?
I think it's about being the part. I think that the most important thing about an artist is how they move on stage, is how they conduct themselves. And I don't think it has anything to do with whether you have the right color hair or the perfect smile to play Susanna. I think it's about body language, and it's about how you conduct yourself on stage that allows one's body to incarnate a particular personality of a role. And obviously, vocally is the first requirement. But when you get to do Susanna at the Met, you probably have the vocal requirements if you got that far, if you get to sing in a great opera house like the Metropolitan Opera. So in terms of sort of whether you need to look the part, I think if you can convince people that you are the part, it shouldn't matter what you look like.
In terms of attracting a wider audience, the people who might not normally find themselves sitting in the upper ring there at the Met,
yes.
I mean, it does help to have the young, glamorous sopranos to be able to put out there, you know, in the press and stuff.
Sure, and I think it's all about personalities now. You know, being a consumer of this generation, as I am, I spend as much time you know, on iTunes purchasing classical music as I do pop music. So, and I find that my generation of consumers are very personality oriented. So we like to feel like we know an artist and that we can attach a face to something and a personality. So definitely young, glamorous aspects can help. Mm-hmm. But of course, you have to have the personality, because if you could, you could be really gorgeous. But if you're a complete airhead, or you don't have anything to say about music, you don't have anything to give on the stage, you would just stand there like a statue singing, and looks wouldn't help then. I think it's about your personality and it's about your temperament as an artist.
Well, and I should probably say that this is not such a new idea after all. I mean, Maria Callas was, what, half a century ago?
Absolutely. I say this all the time in interviews that, you know, this isn't sort of a new age, actually, because, you know, we had people like Dame Kiri Tikanawa, who's a big idol of mine and who I've actually had a chance to work with, who was absolutely stunningly gorgeous. And then before that, Callas. Before that, even Geraldine Farrar, who was in silent movies back in the 20s. So this isn't a new thing. There will always be people of all shapes and sizes in the world, in the opera world, in the pop world. I mean, that's happening in the pop world as well. It's not about sort of what you look like, as long as you have something to give.
Mm-hmm. Danielle Denise is my guest. The soprano is Susanna in Mozart's Marriage of Figaro at the Met, beginning on Tuesday the 22nd and running through October 9th, and then a few more shows in December as well. You're very cosmopolitan background in your family. One parent is Sri Lankan Dutch and the other is Sri Lankan and Scottish.
That's correct.
But
yes.
You were born in Australia.
I was born in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia.
So you have this kind of exotic look about you.
Oh, thank you.
which, I mean, is that something that... is that a hindrance, a help? I mean, does it come into play at all in casting?
Do you know, I have to be very honest and say that it hasn't. I've always been raised to not be limited by anything like color or background or height or hair color, really. I think
I like the red, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah. Well,
not so much a question of how you were raised. It's how these people who do the casting are
yeah,
thinking.
Well, I mean, I think that that's a reflection, though, of how I look at myself. So when I go into an audition, I'm not thinking about those things. It's the music that tells the story of who you are as an artist and what you do with it. And that, for me, at least in my career, and knock on wood, has always transcended any other limitations that people might place on me, because I don't have any limitations on myself. My mom always said, you know, dare to dream. I think she's listening, so hi, Mom. That's a very important thing to have in your heart, really, because if you don't see the limitations, that's the first step to other people not seeing them. So, you know, there's no room for having a chip on your shoulder.
So no limitations, but on the other hand, as you said from the beginning, you can't just go out there and sing everything all the time.
Absolutely.
You have an instrument that you need to take care of.
Yes.
Your first album was Handel, your second album, yes, Now Mozart. It seems like you're kind of, is this a one step at a time progression?
Yeah, I've very much been like that in my life. I mean, because having started so young, I made my Metropolitan Opera debut when I was 19 in this same production as Barbarina. And I've always looked at it as having time on my side versus racing ahead, mm-hmm, to be the youngest person to sing this role or that role. I've had many milestones that have happened to me, and it's, you know, as fate would have it, I was the youngest to do this or to do that or to get into Tanglewood or whatever it was. So I don't feel a pressure to chase after those titles or those accolades. And it is so imperative for someone like me, being younger than most, to be careful, because there can be many opportunities out there or offers, you know, to do something that for the short term could be a very quick success path, or, you know, cause a bit of sensation on, mm-hmm, one level or another, but then you're left
with
yourself.
Danielle Denise sings all of the female roles in the Wagner Ring Cycle at Bayreuth.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, I mean, when I was younger, I got an offer to sing Aida because, you know, they said the director was looking for someone like me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, well, I ran the other way because, you know, at the end of the day...
Too hard on the voice.
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, when you don't make a wise choice about what's right for your voice, you're left with yourself after. when the damage is done. Nobody will be there to help you to pick up the pieces. So you have to be careful.
The current step in the progression is this role, Susanna, in Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. This is my guest, Danielle Denise. More where that came from, the role of Susanna in Mozart's opera The Marriage of Figaro. At the Met, it'll be sung by my guest Danielle Denise, and this is actually from her Mozart CD. It is called simply The Mozart Album. So the sort of heavier roles, the Verdi Aida, maybe some of the later Donizetti, Wagner, things like that, that all has to wait?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I prefer to be patient and see what happens to my voice and what my voice tells me is right, and then go after the engagements. I've done Verdi and Puccini. I've sung Nannetta in Falstaff, and I've sung Lauretta in Gianni Schicchi. I've sung Musetta. So those are roles that, you know, I feel acquainted with the style. But further than that, I feel it's not right to go until I have a sign vocally that it's time.
Okay. Well, as you say, you started all this awfully young. Critics have noted that for a singer who is so young, you seem so at home on the stage. Is that because you've been on stage since you were like a kid? I mean, you hosted a television show in L.A.,
right? I did. I hosted a television show called L.A. Kids for United Paramount Network, which I was very fortunate to do.
How old were you?
I was 13 when I started. And I think I stopped around 17, 18. I won an Emmy in between there when I was 16 for it. An incredible experience. It's all about sort of learning the different ways that one can perform or be comfortable in front of the camera. So I did learn. I had a good experience with that.
Were you singing at that point?
I sang on the show. I did. Yeah, I was already singing from about 8 or 9 years old. I was already taking classical voice lessons. Mm-hmm. And I do feel at home on this stage. It's not a vain thing at all. It's actually, I just really love performing. I love that feeling when you go on the stage and you get to be a character for a few hours and you make this very, very direct connection with the audience. It's something that it's hard to put into words, but it feels like a sort of energy field that's created between the public and you. And when you can be really trusting of yourself and allow yourself to be very exposed and to be sort of naked in front of the audience, where you have to use your own canvas of emotions to be able to play a character. And that can be scary at times. And when you can really let that out, there's some connection you feel with the public because they're really taking those emotions and then sending their own back. It's brilliant.
Well, and of course, for the most part in opera, you're not out there by yourself. There is a cast with you.
Yeah.
So you're kind of feeding off of each other, I would think.
Absolutely. I mean, you're telling a story.
Which I was on the Met Opera website earlier today, and I noticed that when you come back to Susanna
yes.
in December after the September-October performances,
yes.
you're with a completely different cast of characters.
I know.
What does that do when you turn to your left to sing to Figaro and it's a different guy than it was the last time?
Well, I mean, we'll have a short rehearsal period, I think, in order to acquaint ourselves with one another. I happen to know my second Figaro because I've done the only other performances of Susanna that I've ever done were with him. So I look forward to seeing him and performing with him here at the Met. And that's par for the course, I think. You will get put in with different cast members, or maybe someone gets sick and then a cover has to go on and you don't even know them. And I think that's where the test of artistry, again, comes into play, because if you're really focused on stage, you're listening and reacting in real time. So you're not on autopilot. And again, it's you test yourself then, because you really have to listen and you have to look and you have to pay attention because you're working with someone new.
Danielle Denise, the soprano, is my guest on Soundcheck. Danielle, let me read a comment that came in on our website. Listener describes him or herself as simply voter from Brooklyn. I agree with the guest. It is about being the part and not looking the part. I have never been to an opera. This is the kind of person you should be getting into that opera
house. Voter from Brooklyn, come to the Metropolitan Opera, please.
But I've heard a few recordings, and the attitude and passion will come through if the artist becomes his/her role instead of just acting it. The voice, not the face/body, has the power to transport the listener. I love Jesse Norman and Deborah Voight.
Absolutely.
And Debbie Voight, of course, the famed thing with the little black dress at Covent Garden, not getting the role because she didn't look the part. I mean,
yeah.
This is something that the opera world continues to wrestle with. But Voda from Brooklyn agrees with you.
Thank you.
So what happens next after this run of shows at the Met with, you know, you have this kind of career track, you're taking it slow. What comes after Mozart?
After Mozart, I will do a European tour of Handel concerts with Il Giardino Armonico, and then I will come to the Lyric Opera of Chicago to sing Susanna again in the Nozze di Figaro under Ed Gardner. I will then do Poppea in Madrid and then continue to sing Semele at the Théâtre des Champs-Élysées in Paris.
Now, is there a risk? These are all kind of early music parts.
Yeah, well, Susanna and Figaro, and then, Poppea is Monteverdi, and Semele is Handel.
Is there a danger of getting sort of pigeonholed, put in the early music box?
Well, it's interesting, because having made my first album of Handel arias, I did a series of interviews during the promotion of that album where people would say, well, you're a Handel specialist. And I would always reply with, absolutely not a Handel specialist. I've studied the practice of Baroque performance, style, and practice. And I've done my homework, but I don't consider myself a specialist. And in fact, I mean, Mozart was my first forte before making my debut in Amsterdam as Cleopatra. And that sort of snowballed into a lot of other offers for a lot of Handelian heroines. It's easy to be pigeonholed, isn't it? In this day and age, everybody can be pigeonholed. But you have to break out of it.
Yeah. Mozart, though, Mozart's home for you.
Mozart is home for me now. And then Donizetti's my next step.
All right, Danielle Denise on the move and making her way back to the stage of the Metropolitan Opera September 22nd through October 9th and then December 4th through 12th in the role of Susanna in Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro. Danielle, good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, John.
And that'll do it for today's show. Next week on Soundcheck, when Roseanne Cash was 18, her father, Johnny Cash, gave her 100 essential songs of American roots and country music as a kind of musical legacy. She selected a few of those for her new album, The List, her first ever recording of covers, and her return to music after recovering from a rare brain condition. Roseanne Cash will debut the album with a live performance in our green space. Free tickets are still available. Visit WNYC.org for more info. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer with Daoud Tyler Amin. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau. We had help today from Ajita Shukla. I'm John Schaefer.